This is the Morgan Report with David Morgan. For the latest in precious metals investing, gold, silver, the economy, and more, go to themorganreport.com.
David Morgan with you for the week ending the 1st of September, 2017. Well, this weekly perspective, I'm going to start off with Wolf Richter, WolfStreet.com, and this is a very interesting article titled, Fearing Contagion, Russia Bails Out Bondholders in Its Biggest Bank Collapse Yet. Talks about what's going on here with the sixth largest bank in Russia, and I won't read it all to you. It's certainly worth looking up on the internet and reading the whole article. What I'd like to focus on is at the end of the article, it states, a bank bailout, privatizing profits and socializing losses solves all problems. According to TradeWeb data, the bonds jumped according to the $500 million bond maturing in April 2019, which soared 34 cents on the dollar now that the central bank declared that bondholders will be made whole and that bank bondholders are sacred. So not fair, and I'm not saying that Russia is a free market or any free markets really exist in today's world, but the idea behind a real free market is that it's commensurate with being able to win and being able to lose, and the market determines the winners and the losers without interference from anybody else, including governments. Not the case, has not been the case for a very long time, and obviously the whole 2008 debacle surrounded by the too big to fail. Russia's no different here. Something to contemplate. What side are you on? Are you on the side where the banks control everything? Or are you on the side that will be bailed in or at least be part of the socialized losses? Something to ponder seriously. The next one from CNBC on the economy. Failure to raise debt ceiling would be more catastrophic, quote unquote, than Lehman's collapse, according to the S&P. Spokesperson Jeff Cox wrote the article. If you think that Congress won't at some point raise the debt ceiling, which is a good thing because the consequences of not doing so could be disastrous. In fact, one economist said the scenario would be worse than the lowest point of the financial crisis, again referring to the Lehman Brothers 2008 failure. A failure to raise the debt ceiling would trigger a government shutdown, which in turn could lop $6.5 billion from the economy for each week it's allowed to continue. A disruption in government spending means no government paychecks to spend at the mall, lost businesses, and revenue to private contractors, lost sales at retail shops, and it goes on and on. Certainly something to contemplate. I'm certain that this debt ceiling will be raised. However, with the division between the blue and the red, the left and the right, whatever parameter you want to state it in, I think this will get pushed, and I think there could be some minimal shutdown, minimal meaning small in duration, but it wouldn't surprise me to see it take place for a few days, a week, something along those lines. Time will tell, but of course, in the long run, the debt ceiling will be raised and things will move on as they have in the past. Something very important this week from the Financial Times. Headline reads, six global banks join forces to create digital currency. This is something that some of us have been forecasting for some time. Banks do not yield their monopoly on being able to create something from nothing easily. Six of the world's largest banks have joined a project to create a new form of digital cash that they hope to launch next year for clearing and settling financial transactions over blockchain technology. Barclays, Credit Suisse, Canadian Imperial Bank of Commerce, HSBC, MUFG, and State Street have teamed up to work on quote-unquote utility settlement coin, which was created by Switzerland's UBS to make financial markets more efficient. Read, we are not going to lose the cryptocurrency war. We are the big boys on the block, and we're going to do whatever we want to do, and we're not going to be left behind in this. We're teaming up, and we're going to get into the game in a very big way. Reading on, the move comes as the project shifts into a new phase of development in which its members aim to deepen discussions with central banks and to work on tightening up its data privacy and cybersecurity protections. So again, something to contemplate. Those that are in the crypto space, do what you will. I'm certainly not against the cryptos or the blockchain. I've just been remiss to think that this could go on where you truly have a situation where the banks aren't going to try to, you know, basically take over this financial settlement mechanism. And of course, some will be outside of the system. I do believe, or at least I hope so. Nonetheless, this is a very important article to contemplate and look ahead to what might take place in this very important breakaway that's taken place with the advent of Bitcoin and Ether, which is now, again, it looks like being infiltrated or being, at least say, having a competition from the main players. The next comment comes from Quartz India. This is a chart from India showing why no country should try demonetization, as most that follow my work and others certainly know about the demonetization from Modi's government basically outlawing the 501,000 rupee as illegal. And of course, this caused a huge disruption in the economy and basically really, really put the damper on economic activity throughout India and caused great disruptions. These charts basically show the slowdown in economic activity. And there's a lot of comments here. I won't read them all, but a few of the, let's say, more enlightened economic reporters on the topic. There's some interesting comments. Most say it wasn't an effective exercise. Many of us had realized earlier that people who are supposedly hoarding black money will be the first to find ways to beat the system. And we saw it happen. What's happening is that many of the deposits did come back in the system. So instead of the corrupt, the ordinary people were made to suffer unnecessarily and put through all kinds of torture, including death, because some people did commit suicide over the situation. I mean, they're used to dealing cash only. Now they can't. And it caused a great deal of problems, put it in polite terms. There are two parts of the story. The government expected to basically get a much better tax base, get everybody kind of monitored in this cashless society that the globe is moving toward, or the plane, if you will, the planet. So the second part is that money coming back through formal channels after the demonetization basically wants to be taxed by the authorities. And of course, is that taking place or not remains to be determined. School's out, huge disruption, lesson learned. It was a trial balloon in India from my perspective and was not very successful, but yet that doesn't stop the powers that be. I probably can't do this week without commenting on the hurricane in Houston. Gasoline prices at the pump spike on fears of spot shortages as biggest U.S. refinery shuts down. This is from CNBC Market Insider. Let me just state that a great deal of refining capacity is in that area of the United States, and because of that fact, I do think you're going to see pressure on oil prices over the next weeks and months. That remains to be determined, but certainly a devastating situation in that area, and it will have an effect in my view. Certainly, no one knows exactly, but I think we'll see, again, pressure to the upside. So for those in the area, we all wish you the best. And if you have the wherewithal to send some form of help, be it monetary or otherwise, to these people in that area, I certainly would suggest you consider doing so. And finishing up with the precious metals, after trading sideways for about the last 5 months, gold finally achieved a bullish breakout this week. It broke above the $1,300 level after attempting to do so twice before. The dollar certainly has been dropping quite a bit. And then there was this article on Goldcorp. Gold reset to $10,000 per ounce coming by January 1st, 2018. Jim Rickards, I'm not sure exactly if that's what Jim said or not, but this article I put on our Twitter feed, and certainly, guys, probably more comments than anything I've ever put out on our Twitter feed, but it's a great article. I'm not going to read it to you. Basically, Jim has made the case in his book, The Case for $10,000 Gold. This is a kind of a mini version of it, and certainly for those that are close to the precious metal space, I would suggest you go to goldcore.com and read this article for yourself. A lot goes on in this article about the debt situation, where gold is relative to the stock market, why the war factor would play so importantly in here, why there is a possibility of a currency reboot, which I've been talking about a currency crisis for a long time. In fact, that's one of Jim's earlier books of a title or title similar to that. And again, I'm not saying we're going to 10,000. And by the way, the $10,000 case is very easy to find the metric because it's basically an arithmetic problem based on the M1 money supply and the amount of gold purportedly held by the Treasury. and it's a simple division problem. So I'm going to leave it at that. Gold has obviously made a breakout, and the underlying equities or mining shares are actually doing better than gold, which is a very positive sign for the overall market in the precious metals. Until next week, this is David Morgan, and please let your friends and families, et cetera, know about this podcast. TheMorganReport.com on iTunes, and I think you can just Google The Morgan Report podcast on an Android and find it. Thank you for your attention. I'll be back with you next week.
This is The Morgan Report with David Morgan. For the latest in precious metals investing, gold, silver, the economy, and more, go to TheMorganReport.com.